The 1 Corinthians 13 oftentimes is called the love chapter. It's commonly referenced on many occasions, such as during wedding ceremonies, an expression of one's betrothal love for the other in the bond of marriage. But when you step back to see this chapter in context between chapter 12 and chapter 14, you realize the greatest expression of love is intended to be directed towards one another as members of the body of Christ. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, they talk about spiritual gifts, and then it picks up again in chapter 14, verses 1 through 25. Now, folded in between these two chapters is that emphasis in chapter 13 of faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. If you look closely, this concluding verse in chapter 13 summarizes a portion of God's divine plan that without love, whatever spiritual gift you have been given by the Holy Spirit at the moment of your salvation, at the moment of salvation, you are given at least one spiritual gift. For example, speaking in the tongues of men and of angels and prophetic powers and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge and faith so as to remove mountains, excessive generosity, or even the sacrificing of oneself for another. They will only amount to a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. For you see, without love as the supreme motivation towards one another in our congregation, the type of love that is stated very clearly in chapter 13, whatever you possess or whatever you share with others in word or in deed will only add up to nothing and will just fade away. Our passage of Scripture for today highlights the subject of where our God-given agape love and affection must be focused. And it's towards each other and every member in our congregation, which makes up one body, the church, the body of Christ. Please turn in your Scriptures with me today and let's read together out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to pick up at verse 12 through 31. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. You see the first word there in verse 12, the word for. What that word is there is because it connects the previous 11 verses with verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. This is the same baptism that the apostles were baptized by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit, who, by the way, dwells in you and me. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an ear, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body was an eye, has a little sense of humor here, don't you think? If the whole body was an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell or your nose be? But as it is, this is so critical. God arranged the organs in the body, each one of them as He chose. Everyone here at First Baptist Church of Piedmont and all the other congregations that make up the body of Christ, it is God that arranged those organs, not we amongst ourselves. Verse 19, if all were a single organ, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the bodies that we think less honorable, we as a church body, we invest with great honor. How do we do that? We do that with the same love God uses to compose and arrange the many members of our church with the different spiritual gifts, talents, time, and treasure. And our unpresentable parts are treated with great modesty, which our most presentable parts do not require. But God so composed the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior parts, that they, why? So that there will be no discord, no frustration, no animosities, no angst in the body, but that the members may have the same care. The same care. When you think about it, how do you mean the same care? What comes to my mind is that you would be devoted to one another in the same, with the same amount of time, the same amount of energy, the same amount of attention to detail as you would take care of yourself. But that the members may have the same care for one another. Verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. Do you feel sympathy? Do you feel together with? When you stub your toe, the whole rest of your body doesn't scream out and praise God that nothing else hurts. It screams out, my toe hurts. In the same way, we as a congregation, when somebody is hurting in our church, we should be screaming out that we are all suffering. But if any one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, who is the body of Christ? Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, the church, and individually members of it. George, you are a foot, and you are a hand, and you are an ear, and you are an eye, and you are a nose, and you are a head. And God has appointed in the church first apostles. These are the ones who were sent out to continue God's work. Second, prophets. These are the ones that convey a message from God. Third, teachers. And we have some amazing, amazing God-seeking teachers in our church. Thank you. Then workers of miracles. And these miracles are for two purposes. One is to alleviate suffering, and the other one is the authenticating of Jesus' ministry. Then you have healers. These healers, they relieve suffering, and they equip the witness of the church, of the power, the very presence of God in our midst. And then we have helpers. Boy, if there was one thing, if you asked me, Ron, who do you see as probably the most definite type of spiritual gift that runs through First Baptist Church of Piedmont, I would say without a hesitation, our people in our congregation have a lot of spiritual gifts. Have all the spiritual gifts, but the greatest one that's in common is this one of helps. I have never seen a congregation so involved in ministering to the vulnerable. And then you have administrators. These administrators are our leadership. Be praying for our chairman of our deacons and our deacons and our committee members and those leaders and our women on mission and men on mission, these leaders. And then speaking in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you still a more excellent way. And you probably are asking yourself, well, what is that way? Well, remember I said read things in context. We're reading out of chapter 12, right? What comes in 13? Well, the way is the greatest gift of all, the way of love. Spiritual gifts are for the cause of Christ and the edifying of the church. May the Lord bless you exceedingly as we read His Word together today. Now, for the next 6 weeks, each sermon will correspond with the assigned weekly chapter in the book I Am a Church Member by Thum Rainer. And the deacons and I invite each of you to join us on Wednesdays from 6:30 to 7:30 as we discuss a one page of questions distributed the week before. If you want a copy of the handouts at any time, please contact the church office and we'll be glad to get that to you. We want everybody to be involved. There are questions that are in the book. But I'm hoping that you'll go home and you'll talk with your spouse and your children and talk about this. I was so excited when Logan came up on last Wednesday and said, Mom, are you guys doing the same exciting study that we're doing? So great job, Lori, because he came busted in our meeting and he was so excited about wanting to know his spiritual gift. This is how we work together. This week, the sermon was entitled, We Are All One Body with Many Members. At least that was in the first four versions of our bulletin for this week. But note that I added an addendum to the title, because this was something I was very burdened with all this week for our church. We need to be devout. That goes to our faith. We need to be devout in our beliefs. And we need to be zealous. That goes to our obedience. We are to be zealous in our actions. For you see, in order for the many members of our church membership to function as one body according to God's great design, each person's faith must be devout in their beliefs towards God, as well as devout, loyal, and sincerely devoted towards one another in our congregation. In addition, our obedience to God requires our action. And that involves our attitude, our thoughts, our behavior towards one another. To be fervently zealous in support of all the different members of the church, not only in times of suffering, as well as in times of rejoicing. Now, if you believe God's promise that He has given you at least one spiritual gift, then devote yourself. I would say devote yourself to God today in discerning what that gift or gifts are, because this church body needs you to take action and use your spiritual gifts for His glory. Prayerfully take the spiritual gift survey on our website and talk it over with someone. All the deacons and the church staff, we are here to help you to cultivate your spiritual gift. And you can find that on our website. It's an easy couple of clicks. Devote and devout your faith and know your gift. Be zealous in your action and put it to practice. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 10, we're instructed in this way. The end of all things is near. That should get your attention. So be watchful and control yourselves. Then you may pray. Most of all, love one another deeply. Love erases many sins by forgiving them. Welcome others into your home without complaining. So when your pastor comes visiting without telling you that he was coming, don't complain. Pastor's there because he loves you. God's gift of grace comes in many forms. Each of you have received a gift in order to serve others. You should use it faithfully. Then in Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12 tells us that God gave us gifts for the purpose of perfecting of the saints, to the working of serving, and to the building up of the body of Christ. Are you using your spiritual gifts faithfully? When I asked that question to myself, the first thing that came to my mind was the verse in James that says, Ron, if you know what is right to do and you fail to do it, Ron, you are in sin. If you fail to use your spiritual gift for the building up of the body of Christ, First Baptist Church of Piedmont, I'm telling you right now, you're in sin. Our church is supposed to function as one body. One body with many different members who are arranged by God to carry out His will. Now, what does the word function mean? Now, as a verb, function means to work or operate or perform in a proper or particular way. For example, his heart is functioning normally. Now, as a noun, function means a purpose or a role or a reason natural to or intended for the person or the thing. I love this. For example, bridges perform the function of providing access across water. Do you see what I'm saying? In the field of mathematics, and there are some of you that will actually love this, I saw George over here actually move around there, so he's getting excited here. Function is a relationship of expression involving one or more variables. For example, Python is an interpretive, object-oriented, high-level programming, easy-to-learn syntax language that emphasizes readability, supports modules and packages which encourage program modularity and code reuse, which in turn reduces the cost of program maintenance. I know some of you like Ken and George understand that. This powerful interperspective programming language provides increasing productivity with an incredibly fast edit, test, debug cycle. Just as Python has built-in functions, the church has the Word of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And as we said in our responsive reading, the cornerstone and the foundation of our church, we have Christ. Python also has what are called user-defined functions. Those are functions created by a key word. For the role of our church to function properly, each of us as individual members must use our spiritual gifts in concert, acting together as one to fulfill the ultimate intended purpose. And what is that purpose? That purpose is to glorify God and be doing His will. If as an individual or a committee member, as an individual or a committee member in our church, if you say, I don't have anything to do with what others are doing in the church, or that's her thing, that's not my thing, or he better stay out of whatever it is I'm doing for the Lord, aren't we misbehaving contrary to what Scripture tells us to do? Chapter 13 admonishes us on what it is to take to function as a healthy, growing church body. Every moving part in our systems, within systems, has to be done purposefully with divine love. Why do we do this? Why do we do it in this way? Because Christ's love compels us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says this at verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. We regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard Him thus no longer. You see, the human point of view is intolerant. It is It involves superficial judgment, which is wrong. It involves hypocritical judgment, which is wrong. It involves harsh, unforgiving judgment, which is wrong. It involves self-righteous judgment, which is wrong. These are all from the old creation. We are not to pass untrue judgment, but rather always speak the truth in love. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ, He reconciled us to Himself, and He gave us, here it is, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against Him. And God entrusted you and me as members of the body of Christ with the message of reconciliation. So you see, we are all ambassadors of Christ. God is making His appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we, you and I, might become the righteousness of God. That's a huge amen right there. The function of a bridge is to safely get from one side to the other and avoiding the dangers below. The function of our church is to be used by God as ambassadors, as a bridge, in order to bridge the gap between holy God and this sinful world filled with lost souls. Our church is made up of many amazing members, but it is God's design that we function as one body. Each of you have a role and are all a necessary part of the church, each and every single one of you, and those that are watching online. We are all different, but our spiritual diversity, know this, our spiritual diversity is our strength. That allows us to work together. What we say and do must be based on biblical foundation of unconditional love. Do you want to be a biblical member of the church? Then give cheerfully and abundantly. Serve without hesitation or making any form of qualification or condition to you serving. Let us continue to be devout in our beliefs and zealous in our actions in fulfilling God's mission for our church. Reaching out by proclaiming the gospel. Reaching in by making mature disciples. And reaching over to the member sitting next to you, the one to your left, the one to your right, the one in front of you, and the one behind you, by serving others with all humility and compassion and Christ-like love. The beginning to the end of our human quest for God is Jesus Christ. He came to reconcile the world to Himself. And as 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The question is that God has for you, and I have for you today, is, have you experienced His reconciliation for yourself? The Gospel of John, as we've gone over these last couple of months, have made it clear that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He is the true vine. Our Savior, your Savior, has made Himself very clear to the world. And He now has made Himself very clear to you. He is waiting for you right now with open arms. Will you come? Don't wait.